All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of In the Dome is a presentation of Oodle Noodle, with two locations in Calgary to serve you, including 17th Avenue or Beacon Hill. Oodle Noodle brings the heat, just like Andre Kuzmenko. Try the Tokyo Glaze, the Hot Thai Box, or the Singapura. Plenty of options to choose from. Check out Oodle Noodle. Check out the Mega Box option. Get double the sauce, noodles, and veggies. Great to share, or you can have plenty of leftovers.
Order online at oodlenoodle.ca for pickup and delivery. Oodle Noodle is also a great community-focused company. They are committed to donating 24,000 meals to the community in 2024. So check out Oodle Noodle. You'll love it, and Oodle Noodle loves you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Don't Call It a Rebuild podcast. All right, man, we have a week worth of hockey to cover here. The California road trip, San Jose Sharks, LA Kings, and the Anaheim Ducks. Two of the worst teams in the league. You managed to beat them. Barely beat San Jose, should I add? Barely beat the worst team in the league, although you did pretty much dominate them. You get a little bit of a bitch slap from the LA Kings. We had no business playing a hockey game with them. They made some swift work of us. Did they break a sweat that game?
Nah, that was like, it was a very light bitch slapping.
That was like, we're going to beat you with our...
Yeah, we're going to spray... Yeah.
B effort is all it takes to beat you guys.
Spray you with a little spray bottle.
Yeah. Little cat spray. Yeah. Get out of there, cat. But,
get out of here, Huberto.
Yeah, right? Oh, here he comes. Just spray him with a water bottle.
Oh, I cannot see. I'm on the right wing instead of the left wing, and I have water in my eyes. I cannot play hockey.
I don't have my old number. I'm not as good without it. What's my next excuse going to be? I don't know.
Do you have that quote there? I always find it funny because you just keep circling back and just like, I know we're hard on the guy, and I know he's playing better. But...
Big butt.
I don't forget things.
I have a long memory. No.
You don't have a long memory. You have an eternal memory.
I keep receipts, bro.
We should do a, you know, maybe we should do an OnlyFans of our text stream. I think people would get a kick out of that.
Oh, yeah.
The uncensored version.
The uncensored version of, because like by the time you hear the podcast, how many times has it been like filtered down from what we really are saying? God. Starts with the texts. That's like top level, like, holy shit, you don't want to read that.
That's like some CIA shit right there.
Yeah, that's, we got to redact. If anybody ever found those, we'd be in big trouble. And then we shoot the shit before, and that's, we got to tone it down. By the time you're hearing the filtered version, it's a little more clean.
Yeah, we could have an OnlyFans for the first 10 minutes before we start the podcast.
I think we should specify it's Patreon. Like, OnlyFans is for like porn and shit.
Sure, I don't even know what Patreon is. I'm on Twitter and I have to look at an OnlyFans ad every single fucking times I go on there. And now they're trying to, whatever, talk it up and say that, oh, you know, OnlyFans is for anything. It's just some chicken or underwear making healthy meals. I'm really here for the healthy meals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm here for. But this Huberto quote, because do you have it there? I'm trying to find
it. Yeah, I've got it. Well, the reason I posted it is because they had posted like the on Flames Nation, like the Masters Awards, like the players who are leading the team in plus minus, or not leading, but the just worst minus. In plus minus. And, you know,
who's the most under on the season? What is he, minus what?
He's like minus what, 28? He's probably better now because he had a few good games there. But as of 3 days ago, he leads the team in, not leads the team. He's team worst in plus minus at minus 28.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Followed very closely by Sharangovich at minus 25. But we were talking about this because, you know, like he's having a better season, obviously. He's been pretty okay. But at the same time, you go back to the summer and he's like blabbing all summer about how great he's going to be because the new coach is in town. And the quote from the article, remember when Darryl was fired and there was all these articles about how great it's going to be and media's whoop-de-doo.
It was just a Darryl hate fest.
Yeah, the style. He's like, it didn't click between me and Darryl. Big difference in my points between my last 2 years. The style he wanted to play didn't fit my style of game. Having a new coach is going to help my game. He's having a worse year points-wise.
Well, and impact-wise.
So, I guess we can just, all right.
It's like you watch these crime. I'm a big true crime guy. I like my crime documentaries. The family wants to know what happened. Where is she? Where is my missing daughter? I want to know where the dead body is. And I want to know what happened and why it happened. Until that day comes, you need the closure. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it's kind of the same thing for me. It's just like.
You need fun closure on why he sucks? Is that what you need closure on?
Fun fact. Well, no, it's just like. It's not over. There is no closure to Huberto. It's not over till it's over. So it's always going to be how we got here is always going to be a big part of it. And like you said, I got a long memory too. Like, I'm not going to fucking forget that. He's the number one reason we missed the playoffs last year and the number one reason why Darryl got fired. And look, don't mistake this because you see it online. We were Darryl supporters from day one. You see it online. Don't mistake it for like, oh, I wish Darryl was still the coach. Like, fuck, he pissed me off too. But the biggest grievance I have is like the team, dude, the GM quit. How many GMs have quit? Ever? Is Bradtree leaving the first GM just to dip from a team in sports across the board? Has this ever happened before?
It's very rare.
I don't think this gets talked about enough. And Darryl just is the fall guy. The media, oh, it's so much fucking lighter here. To start the season, this team's just going places now.
Walking on clouds.
Just walking on air. What a difference. There's no dark cloud looming over. Which one? The fact that you suck and no one wants to admit it? Kickstart the rebuild. Is that the dark cloud? Oh, no, we can't say rebuild around here. What's that fucking you did a great meme. It's just like, here's all the worst teams in the league and the public status that they're openly admitting to doing rebuilding. Do you want to go through that? Like, that's great.
Yeah, let's go through it. The Flames are like, remember Norm MacDonald's old joke about being a deeply closeted gay man? Oh. I'm telling you, I'm a deeply closeted gay man. So you're gay. No, I'm not gay. Do you know what a deeply closeted gay man is? He's a gay man who refuses to say that he's gay.
No, I'm not gay.
So are you telling me you're gay? No, I'm deeply closeted. It's like the Flames with their rebuild.
That's exactly
like, are you rebuilding? No, we're deeply closeted rebuilding team. Well, you look at the, because this was during, like, who did we lose to? Well, we've lost to some bad teams this year, so I think it applies, hey, right?
Pick any one of the worst teams in the league. We've lost to them.
You go through like the bottom 10 teams in the league, and it's like, hey, you've got your Buffalo rebuilding, New Jersey rebuilding, Seattle, they've been in the league for like 3 years, so doesn't really qualify. Ottawa's rebuilding, Arizona's rebuilding and moving, Montreal's rebuilding, Columbus rebuilding, Anaheim rebuilding, Chicago rebuilding, San Jose rebuilding. And then you get the Flames in there. And they're just like, we're not rebuilding. Fuck you. We're not doing it.
Don't even say the word.
We're not fooling anyone.
What is, it's like Voldemort. They can't even speak the word.
Do not say the name.
That which must not be named. That's what we're doing. But don't say anything. What are they afraid of? What's going to happen? The fans won't come.
They won't come to the rink. No, yes, we're still here, you idiots.
No, they want to see Jacob Markstrom still. No, we don't. Call it a fucking rebuild. Let's go. I'm on board with this rebuild.
Well, here's my issue with the hesitancy to, because Conroy was on After Hours last week.
Don't call it a comeback. Don't call it a rebuild. Hey, this is Vanilla Ice. We should do a remix. I'll do the next song. Don't
call it a rebuild. Where's that guy? Who's that guy who made the Win the Cup song?
Oh my God, dude.
We'll contract him out.
I'm pretty sure he's locked up.
I'm pretty sure we bullied him. The entire internet bullied him into quitting music. Yeah.
Why do people do this? You had in the dome. It should have been the one and only time there was ever a fucking song made about a hockey team going into the playoffs.
That's the only good one
there's ever been.
It's the age of internet, like social media stuff, where stuff is all like fake and lame instead of like organic and cool.
Exactly.
Here's my problem with the whole, because everybody, I've been getting this a lot too, because I've been going about my usual business, making my points that I liked. Any thought that pops into my head, I usually just post on Instagram immediately about the Flames. I think about them a lot, probably too much. And when I post things like, hey, why are all these other teams admitting they're rebuilding and we're not? People will say things like, who cares? Like, what's the difference? Here's the difference for me and why I have such a gripe with it is that we've been sold this bill. I said this last week. We've been sold this bill of goods before. You can go look at what Jay Feaster said when he came in to replace Daryl. Exact same thing. This isn't a rebuild. We don't need to rebuild, guys. We can rebuild.
We have Mackenzie Weegar. Who do we have?
Yeah, it was like,
we got Mark Giordano.
Bomeister. We've got all these guys. Like, we don't need any. You can go look at the interviews. Again, people seem to not remember history. They don't remember recent history or even not so recent. Because
you're supposed to
move
on fucking 10 minutes later. Yeah. That's why.
No, who cares if they call it a retool? Well, I've seen this happen twice, and Jay Feaster came in and made all these stupid moves because you kind of forget the timeline. Like, he came in, he trades Regier. He didn't trade Regier for like rebuilding purposes. You go back, you read what he said, and I remember this because I was a fan at the time, obviously, and he was talking about how the Regier trade made sense because they get a little bit younger, they get some cap flexibility to be able to do some things they want to do. The things he wanted to do were try to sign Brad Richards to a mega deal, offer sheet Ryan O'Reilly, and almost fuck up the whole team. So he made a lot of really dumb moves in service of trying to not rebuild, trying to retool. And that put the franchise back. And if they don't like hit gold with Gaudreau in the fourth round in 2011, who knows where this team would have been wandering through the desert in through those 2010 years. And then, I mean, Tree Living, he was not as daft, but still a lot of his moves were in the anti-rebuild variety, right? Like 2015, they make the playoffs. Like, fuck it. We're trading all of our picks. We're going to be good fast. We're signing Troy Brouwer. So
he's going to run the power play for the next 3 years.
Yeah. my issue with them not openly admitting a retool, and I don't think Connor will make those mistakes either. I don't think he's going to be out trying to sign big. Well, I hope he's not. So, sign big ticket free agents like Feaster was, or spending draft picks like they're freaking growing on trees like Tree Living did. But at the same time, you have the two previous general managers operated under the retool over rebuild philosophy. And in the end, both of them, the teams were not very good. So,
yeah. So this is why you don't ever, like, I don't know.
So what, you're just going to believe, you're going to believe them it's going to be different this time? That's what I'm saying is like,
yeah,
you're with the toxic ex right now. It's going to be different this time, babe. I promise.
I've changed.
This time it's going to be different. I have changed so much. Just, you always got to be wary of that. That's all. I'm just wary. I've seen this organization operate for 20 years.
Yeah, you don't ever move on. You don't ever forget. You can't sweep that shit under the rug. You've been burnt before. That's all you're saying.
That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
So,
you got people. Also, you get a. There's a big contingent arguing against the rebuild. They don't want to see the rebuild because they look at these teams and they think the rebuild's too slow. But if you go through all these teams, and I know Buffalo's in its own category because they fucked up Jack Eichel.
Dude, people always point to Buffalo. I've made this point many times before, and be like, "See, that's why you don't rebuild." They had Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel just won a Stanley Cup. Sam Reinhart just scored 50 goals and is on one of the Stanley Cup, like one of the best teams in the league. Jeez,
it kind of sounds like the Flames we're talking about here.
We
had Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
We had Johnny Gaudreau. We had Sean Monahan. He scored how many goals this year?
26 he's up to. We even had Sam Bennett. So Buffalo is not the team you look at as an example of, they got the players they needed. They just screwed up, just like the Flames did.
But these other teams, I guess Ottawa has taken a bit longer.
Well,
but
the thing is,
look at their fucking management, the GM. It's just like,
terrible.
They're a fucking tire fire of an organization. So like, you can't really compare to them. What about the Ducks? They seem to be taking longer.
I think it just takes a long time when you get to that point. And I think it's even valuable to look at, like, with all the trades Conroy has made this year, we're only now kind of back to recouping all the trades that were shipped out under Tree Living.
Yes, I was going to bring this up because Mike Gould posted something along these lines of, like, Tree Living absolutely overspent. Like, he gave away, like, how, like, anyway.
Pick after 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 pick, you know?
Like, with the amount of draft picks that Connie recouped this season, you would think we'd be in a surplus, but we're not.
We're just back to breaking even now. I think we maybe have one more than what do we have, 15 over the next two? When we would have had, like, should just have 14. There's still a few missing there. Like, he sends a fifth to San Jose for a Hochuk.
And this is always your point. This is why you don't forget. And this is why you look at these other organizations. You look at Tree Living and you look at what we've done in the past. Like, you have to continue making good management decisions. That's why you can't put Buffalo in the rebuild category and say it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I think
they've fucked up on some seriously major core
huge
pieces.
Huge fuck-ups, dude.
Like, Jack Eichel's number one overall.
Jack Eichel's he's a franchise player.
He's a semi-generational player, 100%.
And he won the Stanley Cup as soon as he moved to another city, like, immediately. Sam Reinhart. So, these are examples of mismanaged teams. And you look at the teams who are good in the league. Like, you go the top 10 teams in the league, all of them rebuilt. New York, Dallas, at one point or another. Boston's, like, the only exception to the rule. And they're going to have to eventually. When kind of their core players, well, maybe not. That's kind of the ideal. You want to be a good team every year. But Florida, Vancouver, maybe the Jets didn't. But I mean, at one point, they were picking top 10, top 12 for like 3 or 4 years in a row there. Colorado absolutely did. Edmonton did. Toronto did. Like, all these teams have had to do this.
Well, and it's just like, what's the alternative? Because, I mean, how much success has the Calgary Flames franchise had in the last 30 years? You just want to keep being 16th overall and just hopefully you get lucky one season and have another 0-4 pull a horseshoe to your ass and you just have the key ingredients.
Exactly.
That no one ever saw coming. Like that's what you're gonna hope and pray for the next thing.
This thing about the rebuild taking too long too is like, I don't know, like has the last 10 years of Flames hockey been fun for you? Like missing the playoffs every other year? And winning like two playoff rounds, being out of the first round twice in like 20 years, like we've liked that. I can't beat Buffalo. Really that.
You can't beat a rebuilding Buffalo team in the bubble all season long. And you miss the playoffs.
So I haven't really enjoyed doing that. And I mean, if you're talking about alternatives, we've talked about Dallas a lot. You kind of look at Dallas as a team, like that's kind of what maybe the Flames are modeling their retool after, is like a team who didn't bottom out for a really long time. But I think the key thing is they're like, there was a bit of luck in that when you look at that. They get three franchise players in one draft. They get Heiskanen at 3 overall. They get Robertson and Ottinger in the second round. Like for for most teams, that's 3 or 4 drafts to get players of that caliber. That's tough. But that's tough to do.
It's probably also really good drafting.
Yeah, and scouting. And they've continued to do that too. Stan Coben, Wyatt Johnston.
That's the thing. If you can continue to do that, solid drafting and scouting year after year after year, you are going to get lucky because you fucking earned it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really my main point of all this is like, at the end of the day, I don't really care what they call it as long as they're acting in a manner that's appropriate and making good management decisions and not spending shipping out draft picks and making good draft selections and just not making dumb moves. So I guess I don't really care what they call it, but I care what they don't call it based on their past history of, we're not rebuilding, we're retooling. And then they go out and do a bunch of stupid things to serve the retool instead of a rebuild. So as long as they're acting in a manner and making good decisions that help the future of this team, that's fine. Fuck, Dallas has drafted well. Thomas Harley, 18th overall in 2019. Johnston, they get Wyatt in the 2021 draft. They get Wyatt Johnston at 23 overall and Stan Coben at 47 overall. They've done a really good job.
They're going to be fun to watch in the playoffs here.
They are rolling. Stars are 8-2 in their last 10.
Just fucking turning it right up. We got 10 of.
Who did they pummel the other night? The Oilers, they pummeled the Oilers.
I know we're bouncing around, but because we're on the topic, I'm just pulling up the playoffs started today. We were just talking about this. I think the LA is going to play Edmonton first round. We'll talk about that one later. But Dallas is likely to play. Well, they're going to finish first in the West.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's
going to catch them. They got one game left. Do they have the tiebreaker over Vancouver?
Winnipeg actually has the most regulation wins of any team in the West.
Yeah, they can't catch them points-wise, but if Vancouver and Dallas tie in points and Dallas has 4 points up on Vancouver, but Vancouver has a game in hand.
Can Vancouver tie them? I don't think they can. I guess they could tie them in points.
Vancouver can tie them if Dallas loses and Vancouver wins the last two games, and then Vancouver
has the tiebreak,
So those guys are still jockeying for position, but in all likelihood, and fuck, it could be I don't know if Vegas is going to catch LA because Vegas has a game in hand, but they're 3 points back of LA now. LA, the final two games of the season, they play Minnesota and is it Anaheim? Another shitty team.
Hockey's crazy, man. We have 3 less regulation wins than the Vegas Golden Knights.
Well, no, LA plays the Wild in Chicago. So if we're gonna see an Oilers Vegas first round matchup, and by the time this airs, we're gonna know what's the Vegas game at or you know.
It hasn't started yet.
Vegas plays Colorado. But I would say likely it's going to be an Oilers LA Kings first round matchup. And then it's looking like it's going to be Dallas and Vegas first round matchup. Fuck. What do you think of that first round
matchup? Well, I think the playoff format's dumb. I think it should be 1v8.
100%, dude.
It just makes the matchup so much better.
Is it Bettman that's hell bent on this division?
I don't know. They're held up on like this old rivalries. Like,
who cares about your division? I don't think anybody gives
a shit. Like, are we excited to see Edmonton and LA probably play like what three years in a row? Kind of.
No one gives a fuck. I could
care less. Is there any rivalry that's been developed there at all? No.
Maybe between. Look, there's a rivalry between Edmonton and Colorado. Why? Because they play in the fucking third round. That's how you get your rivalries. Like, it doesn't matter if you play in the first round.
Yeah, nobody cares. And that's the problem, is that it eliminates too many good matchups later.
No one remembers the first round.
Like,
you look back, it's just like, fuck, that was, yeah.
The fact that you're going to be like taking, like, that's the other thing too, is that if you go 1-7, like LA is seventh and they're going to be playing. You're just taking too many good teams off the table early.
And it's even more ridiculous in the East. But anyways, Dallas, back to Dallas, drafting, rebuild. I mean, it's just like, and then you look at I don't know, man. Like, would you, if you're a Flames fan, and you are obviously, go back to 04. That's the last. Would you call winning against Dallas 2 years ago a success? I mean, it was a bit of success, but just past the first round, man. Like, you want to at least see a Western Conference final. We haven't seen one since 04.
We've seen one in our lifetime. We've seen this team. That's insane.
Dude, that's 20 fucking years.
It's up to like 30 now.
Of questionable amount of success. So if I'm gonna ask you straight up, so it's like, would you trade 6 years? What's Anaheim at now? What year?
This will be their what, sixth year?
They might be another 1 or 2 years out until they potentially make the playoffs. Like, where would you project that? Like, depends what happens with Zegras, and Zegras is a bit of a I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They came out a bit gangbusters this year, and you look like this might be the year they turn it on, but they're probably going to need another year or two to be like kind of in the playoff mix. So that's probably like 7-8 years.
When it's all said and done, is that 8 years? That's a little long though, isn't it? I can see the argument from some Flames fans of like, no, a rebuild takes too long. If you can do a retool successfully, yeah, do it. But then you make this point. If you really pull it back, you take a look under the hood, you strip it all back. If you really take a look at what the prospects we got coming up, it's just like, there's not a lot of elite talent. And you get that through drafting for the most part.
Well, I think that's the thing where you look, well, it's going to take too long. Yeah, that's because of the last 10 years of what's been going on here and losing players for nothing and spending draft picks like too candy many, and
yep. too many that, poor management decisions.
We are in the hole right now.
Yep.
It's been deficit spending. So it's good. Whether you like it or not, it's going to take a while. And I think to your point,
you don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah. But you got
to
get,
but you have to go through an insolvency of, you need a consumer, what do they call consumer proposal?
Yeah, exactly. And,
because Brad just was not.
Yeah, he was just, there's out. Nothing
he
left.
He spent too many nights at Hunkers and Blow. That's what it was.
Oh, it's a beautiful metaphor. And now Conroy's starting to start a family, and he's got no money. He's totally bankrupt. but I think you make a point that I want to touch on is, if you can do the retool, if you can do it faster, obviously, we all want to be Dallas. We don't want to be Anaheim taking so long to do it. But I think what you want to avoid is doing what Brad did, which is trying to speed it up. If it happens organically, that's great. If it doesn't, you can't alter course.
Well, not only that, but like, some of the decisions he's made were just bonehead.
Terrible.
It's like, you turned, you basically said, no, I want Travis Hamonic now instead of Noah Dobson in 3-4 years.
Would you trade like, okay, Anaheim, 8 years, but what does this sound like? The Flames since,
right?
Since 2009, here's the Flames playoff history. Since this is just 15 years, this doesn't even go back farther. When it's even worse, you go back farther. 2010, didn't qualify. 11, didn't qualify. 12, didn't qualify. 13, didn't qualify. 14, didn't qualify. 15, you get to round two. 16, didn't qualify. 17, you get swept in round one. 18, didn't qualify. 19, losing round one. 20, losing round one. 21, didn't qualify. 22, you make it to round two. 23 and 24, didn't qualify.
There's 10 seasons, and that's in a matter of, 14 years? Didn't qualify. So there's 10 seasons of failure. There's 10 failed seasons right there you just rattled off. So measure that against 6 years of a rebuild.
I know what I'm taking.
And it's just like this thing you always say, just like, pick your fucking direction. Yeah. Stay in your lane until you get there.
If you try these shortcuts, it never works. It's kind of like the kid who like...
It rarely works, especially when you're making bonehead fucking deals, Brad.
It's like in your career.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I remember. We're not allowed to talk about it. Oh, yeah. We just got to put that in the past.
Get over it. The past is the past.
My daughter's still missing somewhere.
Get over it.
Her skeleton's in the earth somewhere. I don't know where it is. I'm supposed to get over it, though.
You're so fucked up.
Hey, sometimes you gotta, you know, make these dire comparisons, you know, just to get the point across.
But it's like the person in their career, just like, you know, these people who are always trying to like take shortcuts and like you end up being some like sketchy marketing guy who's like selling some shit while you like, you know what I mean? While you're in debt, instead of just like putting your head down, doing the work and like getting something done to advance your life.
That's how life works, folks. There are no get rich quicks. You know?
Exactly. Oh, buy my course and you'll be a millionaire in 5 weeks. I promise.
2 weeks.
You'll be a retooled millionaire instead of just like doing your shit every day that you have to do.
No, you got to make solid management decisions year after year after year. And if you don't, then you got to file for insolvency.
Like it's the basic principle of the power of compound interest.
There you go.
Good decisions compound over time.
God, we've had some boneheads at the helm for a while, eh?
It's not been great.
It's not been great, Jay Feaster. We go from fucking Craig Button to Jay Feaster right after Craig.
Well, we had Daryl, and he was good until he lost his mind there. And then the Feaster
field. Until he started point proving it.
I'm trading guys just to piss everyone off.
Just out of spite. I'm going to run this team out of spite now.
The Phaneuf trade story is so funny if you hear Brian Burke tell it. Daryl just like decided to trade Phaneuf one day because he was like, he wanted to change things up. It's like, fuck it.
Yeah, that's definitely Daryl's Achilles heel, man. Too stubborn for his own good. I mean, that's you know, one of those things like his stubbornness. Got him to a certain level of success, and then when he went over that threshold of being too stubborn, that's when it's his biggest strength and his biggest weakness.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Back to this question of like, what would you prefer? 10 out of 14 years of no success, and you're in and out, in and out, in and out, and you're, oh, you're good, and then you suck, then you're good, and, you know, and you're kind of good, and you're kind of suck, and we'll get a little bit still good. Like, how many more years of this do we have to do? You want to do this perpetually? Or do you want to just fucking...
have a plan and go for it and make it happen.
Make it happen. Don't call it or whatever you want to call it. But, like, I'm watching this California road trip... And you got guys like Zari, who's fun to watch. He's a good hockey player. You got guys like Kuzmenko. And I'm just like, dude, how the fuck did we turn Elias Lindholm into Andre Kuzmenko plus, 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 plus? This is going to be one of the biggest one-sided trades. And I guess we'll see what happens in the playoffs. That's the biggest caveat. We don't know what Vancouver is going to do and the impact Lindholm may or may not have. I watched the last final minutes of the Oilers Canucks game last night, and Lindholm makes a really, really good defensive play. And short with the Oilers goalie pulled, and shortly after, you know, they score an empty net goal. So We can't even. We know it was good for the Flames. That's all we know is that for us, what a hell of a fucking trade.
That's got to be one of the best trades, well, so far. Obviously, it doesn't even really matter what Lindholm does. Already, it's a slam dunk.
Because you're watching Kuzmaker, like, I'm just, dude, the amount of, this guy has, dude, like, Pavel Bure elite skill.
He's the best player we've had since Tkachuk. And he even has, when you watch him, that's what we've been missing, is that Tkachuk type skill in front of the net. Like, that's what he's got.
Ability to fucking break games.
Like, all those goals and plays he's making, especially on the power play, like, those are Chucky plays. I'm watching him and be like, that looks exactly like he's a Russian Tkachuk down there.
Yep.
He scores that goal against Anaheim where he drives to the net. How many times have you seen Chucky do that where it's like he's going to pass the slot? Nope. Drives to the net and tucks it in.
Well, even the game winner against San Jose, it's like,
yeah,
you're in tight. It's a bouncing puck. You got guys all over the place scrambling. You have like 3 seconds to control it, corral it, and finesse it into the open net. And he fucking does it. Doesn't even celebrate. Love it. He knows it's garbage time. What am I celebrating for? Score the hat trick goal. Doesn't even celebrate. Love it. You're in garbage time. These games mean nothing.
It's very interesting, you know.
It's very interesting for me. You know? Fuck, I love this guy.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Hey, for me.
It's very interesting for me.
For me, it's very interesting.
I love this guy, too. Forget, like, if it comes time and you get a really good deal to trade him, okay, I'm open to that. But man, I really like having this guy on the team.
Yeah, he's been, he fits into the conversation we're having, which is this kind of whatever. Let's be honest, it's not a retool. Somewhere in between a rebuild and a retool. It's a retool build, rebuild tool.
It's a rebuild. They just don't want to call it that. And I think that's kind of the underlying assumption, is that Conroy knows what's up. So he won't say the word, but he'll he knows it's a rebuild. I'm not an idiot, I hope.
But you're sitting here, you have Kuzmenko on your roster. And now that he's integrated, he's made the transition from Vancouver to Calgary. He got over his illness and whatever, like, little injuries he was dealing with, battling with. We're starting to see what this guy's capable of. He's starting to see the skill level and the ability to execute, because those are two things that don't always come hand in hand. And, dude, like, I'm sitting here. I know we had I was just kind of listening to the end of our last podcast, last episode, where we talked about Huberto again. Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa! You ain't seen nothing yet. Still, I'm waiting for season 3. But, you know, I use that reference from Elliot Friedman of, like, when Johnny Gaudreau is scoring 80 to 90, upwards to 100 points in a season, that, just that single performance by one player alone can be enough to get a team into the playoffs. If you have a couple other good season, or yeah, a couple other good individual performances around that, like, you're fighting for a wild card spot. So if Huberto could get back to that form, and if Kadri does what he's doing, and, you know, you got another season of Zari and he continues to build, you got another season of possible as he continues to build, you finally have the power play working, for fuck's sakes. Kuzmenko looks fucking ridiculous. Dude, he's freaking
revitalized that thing.
If the goaltending is good next year, if Miromanov takes another step in the right direction, which kind of looks like he's poised to do, we'll see if he does it. If Rasmus Anderson is better next season, if Uyghur has it, you're going to be there. I don't know. And so do you call it a retool? Do you call it a rebuild? I guess if you're Conroy, like, what do you do? What are you trying to do next year?
I think if you're Conroy,
or are you just like, again, you're still trying to make your good decisions, but like, are you just trying to what, an entertaining product on the ice?
Well, I think it's still development time. Next year should be another developing year. I think, and he put it good on After Hours.
Yeah, exactly. And
I think would be how I would put it too. If like you're a good competitive team next year and you're kind of in the mix, like you just have to let the chips fall where they may at this point. Yep. You can't be making moves for trying to make the playoffs. If the team does end up, like let's say that Huberto does bounce back, Kadri continues to be great, Weir continues to be great, a few bounce backs from some other guys, and the young guys become more difference makers than they are currently, and you're in that playoff mix, that's great. That shouldn't deter you from your ultimate goal of what next year should be, which is still developing and becoming a younger, better team.
Yep. Well, right now, Connie's been public with it. The team, the organization has one goal, to be competitive again by the time the new arena is built. That's what they're building towards here. But yeah, like, I mean, if you're, yeah, start the season off, that's your commitment, but you never know what's going to happen. What if Zari pops off? I didn't even throw Sharon Govich's name in that mix. You watch, like, this guy can fucking score, dude. Like, you have an elite goal scorer. You got an elite skill in Kuzmenko. You have some really interesting pieces on this team. And I guess, I mean, you always default back to this is just like, well, if anything, they're like really valuable assets that could potentially become
trade chips. I mean, it could be a good discussion next year because you do have quite a few, you have some similar decisions to make next year as you've had this year, which is you have quite a few key guys in need of new contracts.
Okay, well,
I think they'll probably try. Yeah, well, they'll probably try to. So you have Sharon Govich will be a UFA at the end of next year. Kuzmenko, obviously. And the other one is Mangiapane.
So these guys all have one more deal on. This is, yeah.
After next season. Yeah. This season, you can bring back the same crew pretty much.
So who's on expiring deals this season?
This would be pretty much Greer and Shillington are the only ones who are kind of UFAs. I think Gilbert too, but Greer and Shillington really is the only like notable one.
And what's Greer making now?
I think he's making league minimum.
Yeah. So I don't even worry about that.
If he wants to come back at that, sure. If not, whatever.
Yep. 100%. If he feels like he has a better shot somewhere else and there's interest, he should probably go for it. But if the Flames are the only one that want to employ him, then for sure, let's see him back.
So it's really Shillington you make a decision on. And based on everything everyone's saying, that should be, I don't know. Francis says he expects him to sign at some point soon. So
look, I have not been a big fan of his game the last few weeks, but I've already said this. It's just like, I would take another shot with Shillington. Give him the off season. Yeah. He's got this season under his belt. Like, cause he could like the final few weeks he's been ass, but I think the upside is still
potential. Yeah, he still skates great. He's still got, obviously he hasn't been nearly as good without Chris Tanev around, but he's still got some tools that you look at and say, yeah, an elite defenseman that could generally skate that well.
But rolling into next season, you have some expiring deals, contracts coming up, and they are Sharon Govich, Kuzmenko, who else?
And Mangiapane.
Those are three big names, dude.
Yeah. So you have some decisions to make like you had this year.
And I know this is kind of on everybody's mind. And what are those decisions going to look like? I'm going to throw out the Weegar quote now, because I think if you're a team and you're these players, you're Sharon Govich and you're Kuzmenko and you're Mangiapane, you also got to think about what you want to do. Right? It's just like, well, this team isn't really going to be competitive for a bit, even though they might be. That's not their goal, though. They want to be competitive later down the road. Do I want to stick around till then? Do I want to stick around past then? Do I want to sign with another? Like, what do I want? Right. So,
yeah.
This, fuck yes, by the way, with this Weegar quote.
Yeah. Yeah. Uyghurs.
And this stirred up a lot of conversation about, you know, captaincy. But, what did you want to say about Weegar
before? No, I was just, he should be the next captain. probably.
Backlund has two more seasons?
Backlund's extension starts next year. It was a two-year extension. So he's on his final year of his previous deal this year, and then he has two more.
Okay. So Backlund will be the... Unless they trade him at the deadline...
Yeah, they can trade him one or in next year or the next deadline. Like he has a no move clause, so he'll be in control of it. But I mean, if they suck and he wants to go play somewhere, it's not probably not off the table.
Which I mean, fuck. A lot of people want to see Uyghur as the captain after seeing this. And so if you haven't seen it, Mackenzie Uyghur, and this was this the Ducks game they posted?
Yeah, this was post. This was during the Ducks game. Earlier in the day.
This is just from a few days ago. Very relevant, current. Mackenzie Uyghur, and was it Francis interviewing him?
Might have been Leslie, I'm not sure.
Uyghur says, this is all quote-unquote, it's easy to ask for a trade. I grew up not to be a quitter. I want to stay here. There's so much to pick apart here because this has been a major discussion for us, especially, you know, not having had a podcast going through this rebuild process. It's kind of all new for us too, covering it this way. A big discussion point for us has been like, okay, well, the management has finally gone out and give us some vision and some clarity on what the direction looks like for this team. How does that impact the players? You saw a revolving door, you know, approaching trade deadline this season. Tanev's out, Hanifin's out. Toffoli's out at the beginning of the season. Lindholm's gone. Like, change is afoot. And if you're a player and you committed to this team, like Kadri, Huberto, Uyghur, all committed to this team thinking that they were going to be a competitive team. I remember Kadri's quote before he signed was, yeah, look at our center depth.
And take down, you know, we can take on anyone in the league.
These guys signed their contracts thinking that the Calgary Flames, we had people picking the Calgary Flames to win the Stanley Cup.
Dude, yeah.
So it's a massive change for these guys. It's a massive change for fans. It's finally everything caught up to us. This is essentially what it was.
Well, it's a pretty insane. We talked about this a lot last year. Like the historic shift. Like there was no team. Was it no team or there was only one team in NHL history who had seen 200 point players leave their team in one offseason? So it's been a lot of coping going on over here.
The house of cards that Brad built
fell down real fast,
finally collapsing in on itself, and here we are. And he just dips. Doesn't even complete. Doesn't even
phase the guy. Bye. Peace.
Bye. Buddy's on the tarmac. He's just fucking all the same idioms, eh? Idiotisms, I should call him. Uyghur goes on to say, I want to stay here. I want to win a cup here. I love this city. So he's got how many more years left?
Well, he's the same as Huberto. I think he's got seven left. This first year of his extension.
I love this, dude.
He makes up for whatever negative value Huberto gives you on his deal is made up for in Uyghur's deal.
That's 100% accurate. And if you really sit here and analyze it from a psychological level, it's even more accurate. You have two completely different approaches, mindsets. Does Huberto seem to you like a guy that's bought in to his contract instead of bought into the situation? Like when I say that, I mean,
yeah.
If you listen to Mackenzie Uyghur's words here, he's like, I'm going to.
It starts with yourself, is what he said. Starts with you.
I'll read the whole thing. I believe in Connie and Husk and Backlund and Nas and everybody here. I think we're not far. I want to turn it around, and I think it starts with yourself. And I bring up the whole, like, he's bought into his contract. Like, you love this. He knows what he committed to. And no matter what this team is doing, he's going to keep belief and keep the goal to win a Stanley Cup. And he probably knows that it's not going to happen next year or the next, but everything he's playing for, and this is what we've been saying, if you're going to do the retool successfully, the transition, you got to take every night seriously still. There's a reason why he's had such a successful season. His mindset is in the right place.
100%. Well, probably Kadri too. He's been great, both those guys.
They've been unbelievable, really, given the situation.
It's Kadri's second best season in the league.
I want to stay here. For him to not only be able to internalize, to speak it, he knows. He's already made this decision. I love this city. I want to win a cup here. Do you think Huberto, and I'm not even bringing up Huberto right now to shit on him. I'm just bringing him up because this is a great comparison. If you were to ask Huberto, he'd be like, he'd give you some lip service. He'd be like, yeah, I'm friend, But deep in his being, Huberto would still be uncertain of that answer if you asked him, do you want to stay here and win a cup here? Like, you read this quote and it's like, wow, you know, to the core of this guy's being, this is where he sits. He's committed. He's committed to this organization, first and foremost. He's committed to the city. Obviously, he's committed to the fan base if you have those two in line. He's committed to himself and his contract. It's fucking leadership, dude. This is like what kings are made of. True kings.
Well, and it's always interesting when there is a true leader on the team. We kind of saw this before with like a guy like Kachuk versus Giordano. And it was very clear who the leader on the team was. It's kind of becoming apparent that Uyghur is a guy like that too.
I believe in Connie and Huska and Backlund.
I don't know. Really good at Huska in that part, but I like the sentiment.
Hey, he's bought in, dude. Uyghur is 100% bought in to what this organization is at least attempting to do.
Those are the kind of guys you want in whatever this is.
Well, it comes back to what you were saying earlier in this episode. Show up, you do an honest day's work. You do that enough days in a row, then you get to reap the rewards. Like, this guy's having a phenomenal season. Now we understand why. He hasn't been wavering like Huberto internally. I guarantee you Huberto is wavering internally, dude. He questions his existence every day of his life.
Dude, he's been questioning his existence every single day since he got that trade phone call.
Yeah. He still hasn't gone for, maybe once he finishes the grieving process, maybe that's what he needs.
Maybe he's still, yeah. He's still, maybe going
take a
that.
Grieving course. Take a grieving course this summer so that you can finally get over Florida dumping you. Okay. He's like a guy or girl that got dumped.
And still hasn't got over it.
Never saw it coming. Hasn't gotten over. He's in a new relationship. He's still talking about his ex.
Huh? Still stuck in the past, man. Is he still in the depression stage? Probably. He's almost there. Just get to acceptance and you'll be good.
So I don't know, maybe, because that's the thing with Huberto, you just don't see him really applying himself.
Yeah. Well, and it's still a question mark. Like, Uyghur's only gotten better since he's got here.
100%.
As much as Huberto's been okay, he's been okay. There's still no explanation for how you go from being an NHL superstar to being whatever he is now, a 50-point player, other than that it's all mental.
I believe in Connie, Husk, Backlund, and Nas. There's your kind of core organizational leadership group there. GM, coach, captain, and
best player. Yeah.
I think we're not far. And I mean, I always bring this up. This is why, like, on this podcast right now, the biggest the biggest discussion talking point. Because, I mean, yeah, sure, we can get into the analytics of all the individual players, but why? What's the point? Like, it's all meaningless right now. The biggest conversation talking point is the direction and the balancing act between full-on rebuild and this retool concept. And they're going to try a delicate balance somewhere. And it is delicate. So they're going to attempt it. You read this quote, you're just like, fuck, maybe I have a little belief now. I think we're not far.
I believe in guys like there was a Gio was a huge part of that in the reason they, and he was older. Like, he was a huge reason why they actually had some successful years when they probably didn't have the roster to be winning divisions.
100%. Yep.
Gio was fucking awesome. He won the Norris when he was like 35, 36. Weegar can be like a guy like that for sure.
I think we're not far. I want to turn it around, and I think it starts with yourself. What he's doing is, like, he's creating belief. And that shit can be contagious. I think he is your fucking captain, dude.
Yeah, 100%.
Backlund's kind of like the interim captain, the guy that knows the city. He knows the fans. He knows everything. He's kind of like holding the space.
Yeah.
Dude, if I'm Connie, dude, I'm legit. Would you shop him? I guess he wouldn't unless Backlund.
Yeah, you only shop him if it's like a deadline thing. It makes sense. He wants to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But you can still have, you have your leadership. I think your leadership group has become, and it's funny to look at the leadership group that they started the season with, which was like Lindholm and Huberto and Tanev and Backlund and Anderson. And I mean, it's not like I'm not shitting on any of those guys' leadership abilities, but it's clear who the leaders on this team are. Uyghur, Kadri. Yeah. How Kadri doesn't have an A, it didn't have an A at the beginning of the year. It's kind of weird. Uyghur and Kadri for sure. You'd probably maybe throw Coleman in there, but it's Kadri and Uyghur for sure.
Yeah. I would throw Coleman in there. Those should be your three A's next season.
100%.
Who has them now? Does Anderson still have one?
I think they have been rotating between Huberto, Kadri, Coleman. Anderson has one. I think Uyghur's been wearing it sometimes. Just been kind of a...
Dude, he better be your fucking assistant captain next season. This is the other thing, too. It's just like... Do not jeopardize the direction of your fucking team because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Anderson should definitely not have an A next year. This guy should have an A. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I don't know if you take it away from Anderson or not, but you absolutely...
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would not give a fuck. Dude, he is the fucking leader. I've always had a problem with this, man. I've experienced this in all of my years when I played hockey. The true leader is not actually wearing letters.
Yeah, it's generally the case. And you always find out who the true leaders are. It's always made known.
I guess you don't see it a lot though, changing captaincy and alternate captaincy season over season with the same guys. But this guy comes out publicly and drops a fucking quote bomb like this that, I don't remember seeing a quote like that since we had Chucky, man, or the Nas this season, Coleman, the three of them have been dropping these bombs.
And he's been playing lights out as well.
This just speaks volumes to me in terms of, because you can kind of get a little inner working of what the team, where the team's mental state is at based on this, right? It's good. Like, fuck. Anyway, we should move on from this, but.
Immaculate leadership vibes.
Immaculate. The expiring contracts, Sharangovich, Kuzmenko, and Mangiapane. I don't see any reason not to continue moving forward with the Sharangovich and Kuzmenko experiment. I would 100% at least start extension conversations in the summertime. I don't see why you wouldn't extend these guys. Unless you just wanted to recoup assets next season.
Yeah, I think it'll just be, well, hopefully it's a bit of a more risk-averse calculus than it was with some of these other guys here. And Govich is a lot younger than a Lindholm or like Toffoli for sure. But it'll kind of be like, if the contract makes sense, then yeah. But if it doesn't, then we're probably going to, we can't lose you for nothing. But I can't foresee any Sharangovich deal being not making sense for club and player. The Kuzmenko one, I don't see, unless he really loves it here and wants to sign a reasonable deal, I don't see why that, you maybe don't wait that one out. And the Mangiapane one, I think, is the one that probably, it's like, what is he going to want to extend for if he even wants to stay, which I'm not sure of.
Well, here's why I think you want to extend Kuzmenko this offseason. The guy agreed to come to Calgary.
Yeah.
Look at what he's doing under the current circumstances. Like, the team is fucking in the tank, dude. And he's fucking lighting it up. So you mean, look at his personality. It seems to me like he's bought into what this, we're like the thing that we're just talking about with Uyghur. Kuzmenko is going to be your offensive leader. Like, he's going to be the on ice. Like, he's going to be like the fucking guy that drives everything.
Yeah.
So here's why I think you should extend him in the off season is he's most likely going to have a fucking monster season next year in terms of production. So if you want to do the asset protection thing, which is, this is the where we're at now, every step of the way, this is what Connie should be doing. You might as well lock him up now for cheaper. Then you're probably going to have to, you know, pay him after next season if he has a monster. If he has a monster season next season, you got to pay him even more. Does that make sense?
No, I think that's fair. I just think it would be term that you'd be wary of. Like, if it was a 3-year deal, and I guess you're just going to have to risk or manage where you're at, like what you could get for him versus where you're at. If you're in the shitter again next year and somebody's off and he's like, he is back to being like 40 goal pace, and somebody's offering you a really good deal for him, then I mean, you have to consider it. So it'll just be probably calculus on that front.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, Toffoli was great. Toffoli's been great again this year. You couldn't afford to keep him at what he was asking. I mean, obviously, I think Kuzmenko's probably going to be a better player for the next few years than, well, I don't know, Toffoli's pretty good.
But if you're a player like Kuzmenko, and
if you're a fan, fuck yeah! I don't give a shit about any of that. I love watching this guy play. He's easily the most skilled player we've had since Tkachuk. He is awesome in the media. He's just hilarious. The vibes around this guy are great. If I'm just speaking from a strict fan perspective, I'd sign him for sure.
Yeah, like he's the type of player that can make your rebuild feel a lot shorter than it's
going to be. And you like his attitude, you love his energy, you love everything he brings on the ice for the most part. He's a guy you'd love having on your team at any point in time.
Well, what would his camp push for in terms of term? If, you know, he plays one season from the KHL, has a great season with Vancouver, his second season, the team fucking basically says they don't want him. You come from the K, you have a great first season with Vancouver, but then the next season, the team basically says they don't want you. You traded already in your second season. You're on an expiring deal. You know, how much leverage do you think his camp, like, what are they pushing for if he was to extend? What kind of term?
Well, it's kind of a hard market to get a handle on. Like, you look at, okay, like, what's the deal that Tarasenko, like, has he been on 1-year deals lately? I'm just going to pull it up real quick. Like, he signed a 1-year deal this year, $5 million, after being on a, I guess he was on a pretty big ticket before and he's older, but if I'm the Flames and you do want to sign him, I'd be more interested in high dollars, low term. Like, could you get him to stay that way where you're like, hey, do you want to take a 2 or 3 year deal at a pretty high dollar figure? I think you just want to be wary of term, obviously.
I mean, if you're doing a kind of like your own little vibe analysis, it seems to me like he likes it here. He's meshing with the guys.
Yeah, he freaking loves it. You've got some, you got these like other KGB guys around.
I think he's down for whatever, you know, if you got Uyghur coming out and quoting this and saying like, we're close. I think he would buy into this. Like, yeah, maybe, you know, we're 2-3 seasons away. I'm just going to fucking do my thing. Like maybe he does sign a two-year deal, three-year deal.
He has the same agent. The Flames actually have a lot of Milstein clients. Dan Milstein, who represented Zadorov. Remember Zadorov signed that? Not saying all Russians under Milstein are going to be thinking the same, but I mean, Zadorov was looking for like a pretty big deal pay ticket. The last time he was up, this was the season everybody left, and he stayed on a short-term deal.
Yep.
Is that on the table maybe? And again, like maybe you can overpay dollar-wise and just keep it short term. That's kind of what I'd be looking for, is maybe a 2 or 3 year deal that, hey, maybe it has a really high, you're going to make the same amount of money, but it's just going to be over a shorter term. I don't know. Maybe would he be interested in that? I don't know.
I feel like it would.
He's an interesting guy. Like, I don't know. You don't want to say guys aren't only motivated by money, but he does seem like a bit of a different like character, right?
He seems pretty content with where he's with the role he's in right now.
Have you ever heard the story of when like they were trying to sign him, like different teams were trying to woo him to come over, and he came to Edmonton for a meeting and Ken Holland took him out for dinner at like Joey Tomatoes. Yeah. And then he goes to Vancouver and like Aquilini like takes him to like this world class restaurant that he owns.
That's probably the nicest restaurant in Edmonton.
Oh, of course. It's not even close, dude. That's the nicest place north of freaking Innisfail, probably.
I mean, you make a good point. You want to be careful with term. I don't know. I mean, if Connie can extend him and it is a shorter term, doesn't it give him way more control, I guess? Because then you kind of are forced to maybe deal him in the... At one of these deadlines, right?
Well, yeah, and it all is going to depend on how it fits into your cap structure, and just looking at it from the outside, you just already have so much committed to older players. Like you already have that money tied up in Huberto and Kadri and Uyghur. It's not even that it's like, okay, those like Kadri and Uyghur are earning that money, but it's just, you know, if you want to be able to do things like have cap flexibility to take on a contract, like you just did in Kuzmenko, you just look at how Montreal like handled the Monahan acquisition and managed him as an asset. And they get 2 first-round picks for acquiring and trading Sean Monahan. Like that was really well done, really good piece of work. So you wouldn't want to pass up the opportunity to take somebody you got as a cap dump and turn him into something pretty valuable for the future. If that came along. So I think it'll just depend on where the team's at, I guess. But
yeah.
And where Kuzmenko's at.
This is good. I mean, you're kind of,
it's gonna be a tough one to like, I would love to keep him, but if it doesn't make sense for the team, then you can't keep him.
Yeah. And this is cool because this is kind of the two different perspectives we bring. It's just like you're always like, wait a minute. From a management standpoint, let's do what's right here. And I'm like, on ice standpoint, let's go. I want to see Kuzmenko.
Well, I want to see him too, but I don't want to fucking suck in 3 years either.
Yeah, no, it's good. Mangiapane. Is this going to change? Like, are we done with Mangiapane?
Kind of get the feeling, right? He does have a modified no trade in his deal. So he's got 8 teams he can't be traded to. And listen, I'm a big Mangiapane fan. I'm not on the side of a lot of people who are like, Mangiapane's been shit this year. I don't think he's been great. I think he's been fine. But it just kind of does seem like a situation where if somebody made you an offer, let's do it.
Yeah, that's where the problem therein lies, right? Is like, what kind of value is he have right now?
Trading wingers is so weird right now, you know? Like, I watched some of the Winnipeg game last night. Like, Monahan, Topoli's got 32 goals this year.
Fucking it's like money.
As well as that Sharangovich trade has worked out for the Flames, it's like he's been traded twice for pretty much peanuts both times.
Yeah, for a guy that takes back a lot of flack for his foot speed and age, he sure can score 30 goals with ease, eh?
Back-to-back 30-plus goal seasons. And, like, traded for not a lot twice. His winger trades aren't really bringing a lot of value back for guys. So, that's probably, that goes to the Kuzmenko argument, too, is, like, if they're you're not going to get anything valuable back for him. Maybe he's more valuable to the team. It just comes down to opportunity cost. Is what you're going to get back more valuable than having this player on your team? That's what you have to weigh.
Do you think we'll see any Monge move in the off season?
Maybe.
It just seems to me like it's just like it almost seems to me like he needs to put together a solid season next season in order to.
Well, that's kind of been my argument is like, does he, and I mean, I don't think he's probably been happy with having, he doesn't play power play at all this year. Like, he's probably going to get one more big deal. He can probably cash in one more time here. And do you want to be playing with back, slugging it out with Backlund and Coleman again next year? Not playing on the power play? And putting up like 40 to 50 points in your contract year? Probably not.
Are you saying potentially the player or player camp suggests asking for a trade in the offseason?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he wanted to change his scenery or an opportunity elsewhere.
Is this kind of where the role of the agent comes to play? Where he says, you know what, Monge? I've been thinking about this. He kind of lays out what you just laid out and says, I'm not saying you should ask for a trade, but something to consider for your next contract. It might be.
If you're a good agent, yeah. Because you're making the money he's making.
Well, and this is why you have agents, because they have this perspective of expertise that the player necessarily may not consider. This is what you pay the agent for.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, like he's 29 when his deal expires. He hasn't made a ton in his career. His big deal was only 3 years and only like 5.8 per year, so. You really want to cash in. You don't want to be stuck in a Lindholm situation, right? Where you're like, fuck, like who's gonna be paying out for Lindholm this year after the season he's had, unless he has a big playoff, which you very well might. But
right, the value is going down with him.
You want to juice your value as high as pretty basic.
I would not be surprised if Vancouver, the playoff doesn't increase Lindholm's value, he doesn't end up in Columbus, dude.
Yeah, that's been my kind of theory for a long time.
They might likely be the highest offer.
Apparently, they tried to acquire. They were toying with the idea of acquiring him, apparently, earlier in the year, and it just never panned out. I mean, their GM's gone now, but.
Dude, if I'm Columbus, I'd fucking do that.
If I'm Columbus, you're totally. If you
overpay him
for a couple years, there's zero risk on that. You know he's got instant chemistry with your other guy who's not performing particularly well.
What do you think Craig's perspective on Mangiapane is in this whole situation?
I mean, it's probably just down to basic asset management. Is he having him on the team? Is it better than what you could get for him in a trade? Because Craig's not losing him for nothing.
God, it's nice when I ask you what.
And you don't get fucking absurd.
What you think the GM is thinking, and it's what he should be thinking. Versus what he's not thinking, which he shouldn't be thinking.
Well, right? you know, at the very least, Conroy's not going to let guys walk for nothing. So he's either going to sign him or trade him. And, you know, it looks like a fork in the road here.
We got to see Dustin Wolf.
We get to see him tonight, too. What the hell's going on?
Thank the gods, eh? I just started watching Game of Thrones. That's why there's Game of Thrones references here in this episode. I thought Wolf has looked good. Every time I see him, and sure, if you want to pick apart every goal, which you can if you want, I still think he's developing into a fucking great goaltender. But I watch, and I made this reference early on in this episode, it's just like I'm watching guys Watching guys like Kuzmenko, you've seen some of these individual players. He's one of them, dude. Where I'm just like, fuck, I'm sold on Wolf.
Oh, totally, dude. And again, this is all we really wanted to see is like, give him some games, give him some time to get comfortable. Cause it was like early on, it was like he's playing every other whenever, or playing every few months. And then he lets in a couple bad goals, and everyone's like, holy fuck, he's terrible. He'll he's never. Not ready. He's confident. He's gonna be fucking shot.
Never play in the NHL.
It's like, geez, all we want to do is see him play.
Five weeks later, just winning games, looking good. Well, geez, that never didn't last very long, eh? 5 weeks still lasted.
So just see some NHL shots. He looked good in both the games he won this week. Made a couple really big saves against the Ducks. Trade Markstrom. Trade him now. I guess you can't trade him now, but.
We'll see how that plays out. It's going to be a very, to me, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Markstrom trade at the draft.
Do it.
I'm just like, it kind of feels to me like that's the most likely scenario we do see a trade with Jacob Markstrom.
Do it. Here's what you do. You pick one of those nice D-men in the top. Use it to move up in the draft. Use Vancouver's first and a Markstrom trade to move up in the draft. That's what
use it to make everybody happy and get a top 10 player and Tiege.
There we go.
Is Tiege the most talked about conversation currently in Flames, in Flamesville? Is that safe to say?
I think it was definitely at the peak in the first round where Kelowna was where he was absolutely mopping the floor every single night. I think he finished with 8 points.
Seven goals.
He was really good. He was really good. Now, Kelowna's kind of getting smacked around by Prince George right now.
What was the final score last night?
4-0, 5-0.
So that's only after game one. I'm actually probably going to game 3 or 4.
Nice.
When they come back to Kelowna. Got to see Tiege, man. Well, I can.
Yeah, at 8 points in 4 games, 5 goals, 3 assists, 3 multi-point games. Boy, was he good.
Our pal, our buddy, Eric Francis. Sam Constantino's draft picks. He had this up here on intermission, on the last intermission. Mac and Celebrini won. Then you have the slew of defensemen with, what is this? Demidov.
Ivan Demidov.
Demidov.
Hey, man, Craig with his KHL. Maybe we'll end up with another Russian.
Berkeley, Catton, and then Lindstrom. So there's three forwards that Konstantinov has going before Tiege. Konstantinov has Tiege at 11th. Last time we recorded, it was top prospects. It has him as high as 6th. It looks like we're picking 8th, barring a miraculous. Could you imagine? What's the percentage chance we can get a first overall?
Let's take a look. Tankathon. I mean, it'd be nice. It was a tough week for the tank. Like, I enjoyed watching them play some good games, but you really could have mixed in a loss there to San Jose or Anaheim. What do we have for right now? We have a 6% shot at first overall.
6%. So if you.
Not bad.
If you, no, it's not great, though. If you do it 100 times, 6
not,
out of 100.
It's not
times.
Bad, though. It's better than. It's better than 0 or 3. I'll take those odds.
The problem is you're only 2 points back of Seattle.
Yeah, we need Seattle. Are they losing right now? I think they're playing Dallas. Or not Dallas. We need Seattle to win a few games here. Ah, yeah, fuck. Seattle lost today. St. Louis. Fuck.
That game is finalized. That's okay. They're still, oh yeah, no. So we got a game in hand, 2 points back.
We gotta lose 3 in a row here.
The worst will wait. Let's see. We've got 3 games left. I guess we could still technically catch New Jersey.
We can still catch New Jersey, I think. Or no, New Jersey's ahead of us. Yeah, fuck, we don't want to catch them. We need Ottawa to win.
We don't want to catch them.
Yeah, we don't want to catch them. We want them to get, yeah, exactly.
they could still catch us.
Oh, this is a big game in the tank tonight, man. Playing Arizona. We're only 2 points back of Arizona in the inverse standings.
Fuck, do we need a loss to Arizona?
We need a L tonight so bad. Last game we'll ever see the Coyotes in Calgary, so we need a big L.
We need an L in the worst way possible.
Huge L.
This is
I don't know if TJ is going to get to 11, though, dude, with how he's playing, with how he's rolling right now.
Well, that's what Francis was saying. He could be in top 10 now. But, dude, like, and this is what we're talking about. Playoff pedigree. Yeah. Anyways, it'll continue to be the most talked about discussion. I thought I'd bring it up there just for keep it consistent. What else you want to talk about? Josh Doan.
Yeah, see, Josh Doan. There you go.
If there was any, like, Doan and Aguilar are the same people. Aguilar's better, but they're like the same. They're the exact same story, man. Never won anything. No cups. Their kids are now similar ages. Josh Doan is making the transition to the NHL with ease.
These kids who have NHL dads nowadays, it's not really what it used to be like. It was like, oh, your dad played, you know, like, oh, like, it's, this is a legit thing.
You know who ruined that was Gretzky's brother.
Yeah, exactly.
That's who ruined the name means dickle. But I mean, Francis did make a point and say that GMs that he's talked to do put an emphasis on your dad played in the NHL. So but not much. He said, if it comes down to two players and you're kind of on the fence between the two and one player's dad played in the NHL, they'll go with them.
Well,
I think there should be a little more emphasis than that.
Yeah. I think where it falls into is like the whole kind of like pressure discussion or in the pedigree. Like, this is what we saw with Tkachuk, which was like our biggest thing. It was like, this guy from day one, always playing the fabric of the game because he was steeped in, he's just hockey player through and through.
Yep. Grew up in the dressing rooms.
Exactly.
Grew up idling. Dude, your dad's your idol and he plays in the NHL. Yeah. It's double whammy. Tiege will be a successful NHL player.
Yeah, he's going to be, yeah. Dude, the kid's a beast right now. He's 17 too, which is like, he's got a late birthday.
And Joe's better? Is that what people are saying?
I don't know what people are saying about Joe. Joe has that right-handed shot and looks like Iggy. We'll get a good look at him, more of a look at him next year with Edmonton, unfortunately, which is lame.
Good job, Hitman. Dropping the ball.
Big ball drop.
Not in a good way.
Huge ball drop.
Usually when your balls drop, it's a good thing, but in this situation.
Give your balls a tug, Hitman.
Give your balls a tug, you ditty fucker. All right, well, we'll see what happens. We're going to be doing lots of draft talk, obviously, come post-playoffs. When
does the season just end? Draft is June 28th. It's not for a while yet.
All right, we're going to wrap this thing up, but before we do, just on some of these new guys, like, is it how do you say his name? Soloviov. Now, he came from rank. I thought he looked fucking good, dude.
Dude, he looked really good. He gave that guy the stiff arm in the San Jose game.
That was epic. He's been physical.
And then he didn't play against the Ducks. He's apparently not playing tonight either.
Yeah, Holchuk is back in, which he has not impressed me one bit, dude.
Yeah, I don't really see why I guess you kind of see what maybe would interest him. Why a team would be interested in him, because he's big, physical, but he doesn't make a lot of really good plays.
No.
And I thought Soloviov was pretty good against the Sharks, so I didn't see any reason to take him out.
I was kind of getting Gabranson vibes from him, dude, when he was actually a good defender.
Soloviov or
yeah, Holchuk? Soloviov.
Yeah, he's just like, solid back there.
In a good way. Branson vibes in a good way.
Well, and it's a good time to get to see him. Because he came up earlier in the year, kind of was maybe a bit out of his depth, was okay, but you know, it would be nice to see his, see how his game has progressed in the AHL this year by giving him some goddamn minutes in garbage time.
I would like to see him over Ochocinco at
this point. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
but I mean, maybe they. What's Ochocinco's current deal? He's on.
I think he's an RFA at the end of the year.
So maybe that's why they.
Maybe they just want to see if they want to sign him, or
yeah, they probably already know what they got in Soloviev. So maybe that's why Ochocinco's getting these last final looks.
Yeah, they're both the same age. They're both 23. But I've seen. Like, how many games has Ochocinco played? What do you call him? A huge cock?
That's why he's getting so much ice.
Yeah, a huge cock. Oh, that's sad. If you Google Ochocinco game log, the first thing that came up was Tkachuk game log. What the hell is that about? Anyways, like, I feel like I've seen, and again, the Flames and their scouts are looking, and their coaching staff are looking for different things than I'm looking for, but I feel like I've seen enough of him and I would like to get a look at a Ochocinco or at Soloviev more. So.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Miro Manov has been, he rang off the post. Like, he's been looking better. Do you think he's going to take a progression coming into the next season? It'd be nice if he did.
Yeah, it'd be nice if he did. I still kind of look at him as like a kind of Zadorov without the physical aspect of his game.
Like, and I bring him up. Go ahead.
No, I just think, you know, he's got that kind of like weird. It's not weird. It's just he's got that offensive upside. He slugs the puck up the ice a lot. He just sometimes he makes those kind of plays out of nowhere. I was like, wow, that was actually a really nice play by Miramanov. So I could see it. The Flames are counting on him taking a step next year. Him being in the top four kind of is like, whoa, you're really.
Yes.
This is going to be a tank season, but.
Like, if you're just projecting already next season, you got Weir 1, Anderson 2, Miramanov 3.
Maybe Shillington 3. Maybe it's probably between Shillington and Miramanov at this point.
If Miramanov takes that step, well, yeah, I guess between two of them. Like, the reason why I bring him up is I forget what game it was, but it was a recent one. I think it was Francis reporting on it that the teammates just rave about this guy.
Dude, his attitudes, are you kidding me? Remember that first interview you did? He's like, oh, I love Calgary.
Well, it wasn't even the attitude, it was the skill level. I guess in practice he lights it up and he wows guys. I've kind of yet to see it. Like, you see little hints of it. It's kind of like the Coronado thing, man. He is buzzing. And there seems to be percentage of fan base that are shitting on his game, but the underlyings are there. To me, he looks effective every time I see him play. I mean, that one shift, he had the puck on his stick for, 30 seconds? Skate around the whole zone, deked out four guys. Almost when he starts getting confident in his shot, which we know is one of the biggest strengths of his game, I think when he starts scoring goals at the NHL level, he's going to pop off. Like, he might be, maybe not next season, but probably the one after, he might score 20, upwards 25 goals.
Well, we kind of assumed that was maybe what is going to be his upside this year. I think we probably all got Coronado, we're talking about, a little too excited in preseason when he was like lighting it up every game. Remember that beautiful hat trick? That was sweet. But he's what, 21? 21-year-old, first year of pro, coming out of college. That's a tough transition.
That's huge. It's a massive transition, dude.
And he's been, 42 point per game in the AHL when he's been there this year? 42 points in 40 games. And if you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know that I have... His first, he makes the team out of camp. His first stretch of games here, I think he was playing pretty well and was getting a lot of scoring chances. Puck just wasn't going in the net. That's kind of been the storyline of his season. And I think he did that again when he was called up for the second time. Maybe not so much lately, but he has been looking so good. I think his skating has looked like it's improved immensely.
Oh, yeah, big time.
There was a couple great on this road trip. I thought he was really good in San Jose. He only played 855. Lowest on the team. Don't understand that at all. He makes a great play where he has the puck on his stick for the whole shift on the first goal, the Rasmus Anderson goal. He sets that up.
Yeah, that whole goal happens because of him.
Yeah, beautiful play. He had a couple shifts in the Anaheim game where, dude, he had the puck on a string. Looks super confident with the puck.
100%. That's not even necessarily his game. His game is a shot.
So, like you're saying, I think once you start seeing the results, because I do think that the scoring chances, they've been there.
He kind of gives me Monahan vibes, to be honest.
Yeah, and he's not. That's the other thing is, he's 21, first-year pro. He's going to be a sniper, and he needs to play with skilled players, I think. And I think him being bounced around the entire lineup has affected his game a little bit. If you're going to play him on the fourth line with Rooney and Greer, I would say you just make sure he knows that's his role. Like, you define his role and say, okay, here's what I need from you, shift to shift, if you're going to be playing on this fourth line.
Exactly.
Because the comparable I always kind of make between a player who was developed well and a player who maybe wasn't was like Bennett versus Mangiapane. Sam Bennett was all over the fucking lineup all the time. He never knew where he was playing, never had a defined role, ever.
Like, how many games did he play for the Flames? How many games those were center?
Yeah. He was all over the place. Okay, you're in the top six, you're on the fourth line, you're not playing, you're here, you're there, you're everywhere. You're
benched.
You're playing with Backlund, now you're back over here.
We're gonna tell you one thing and then do another. And we're tell you you're going to start in center next year and then play on the fourth line on the wing, start out.
Yeah. Like, on ice, Bennett's numbers in Calgary, his first few years were terrible. Like, when he was traded, it was kind of like, yeah, like, what else can you do at this point? It's at the point where he's not going to be an impact player for this team, probably. And then he goes to Florida, he plays in his role, he's great. And some players take longer to develop than others. But then you look at Mangiapane, where he started on the fourth line, well-defined role, worked his way up the lineup. And they're different players, but just saying, you want to be careful.
That's where a player like Derek Ryan was very valuable, because
yeah, exactly.
He's a guy that's smart. He's got good underlings. He thinks the game well.
Toolsy. He's fast. He's great. He's got a little bit of skill.
Yeah, he's a utility guy. Play him on the fourth line. He really, I think, improved Mangiapane's game.
Yeah, 100%.
Helped him in that development role. And so, that's the thing. That's the thing. I think you're pointing at is, like, guy like Coronado, he has to be a development project, but you have to keep giving him the benefit of the doubt. He should be playing on the third line right now.
He needs minutes, and I think he should be playing with skilled players, especially when you have the lines that we have right now, where there's a very open, obvious spot for him alongside Zary and Huberto, who have been clicking really well in their four games together. Yeah. I think that's a no-brainer to put him there, as opposed to just like on the left wing with Dewar and Rooney, or with Rooney and Greer. Just doesn't make sense to me.
At this stage of the game, unless you really are... you have a development project going on that we don't know about. Why is Hunt in the position on the third line over Coronado at this point? You got 3 games left. You're playing the shittiest teams in the league. You're in 8th, dead last. Like, let's give him
Give him some power play time. Like, at least put him on power play 2. Power play 1 is rolling finally, but you could sneak him in there, because that's where he's going to have his success too. It's like,
well, and this organization's, at least the fan base, is always going on about confidence.
Yeah, yeah. Guys got confidence. Come on.
Yeah, but like, when confidence starts to
exactly.
When you get socked away on the fourth line for your career.
When you do what you did in San Jose, which is have a good start to the game, have a primary assist on the game's opening goal that gets you back in the game after you'd kind of be getting shit canned by the worst team in the league for a little bit there, and then you kind of ride pine for a lot of the third period. And he played 8:58 that game. That's probably when you're like, hey, well, what am I doing wrong? I thought I did my job there.
So anyways, that's a storyline for sure. We'll see how it continues to develop, I guess.
And I just want to, this is just the stat I keep going, like, and again, like, I just think he has been doing what his skill, like, because obviously the production's not there, but when you take the context of where he's been playing in the lineup, how much he's been jerked around, up, down, here, there, everywhere, not been given a consistent role or line mates or playing time, and that it's his first pro year coming out of college, and he's still putting up, per 60 minutes, his scoring chance rates are still pretty good, either top 10 on the team, top 10 on the team this year, all strength scoring chances per 60 minutes. Kadri 1, Kuzmenko 2, Mangiapane 3, Pospisil 4, Coleman 5, Sharangovich 6, Backlund 7, Coronado 8. So I think he's still doing what you expect him to do, which is create scoring chances. The production just hasn't been there. And I think his overall on ice impact has been rough, but He's 21, playing his first year. So I think once the puck starts going in, that's going to be a game changer.
Well, and it'd be nice because that's going to up his minutes. Once he starts producing, the coach is going to probably play him more.
Yeah, I'd really like to see him playing with Zeri and Huberto, though.
All right, well, we'll see how it unfolds. There's lots. Dude, I mean, we covered a lot today, and a lot of it comes down to individual player performances. And then some of these new guys, Sharangovich and Kuzmenko, like, there's a lot of skill. We have a lot of skill in our lineup. We have a lot of supposed skill, too, if you count Huberto in that mix. It's going to be an interesting offseason. The draft's going to be fun. This team is still intriguing in a lot of senses in terms of how this retool rebuild is going to look and how it's going to play out. Because you got some unique players in your mix. And I mean, the skill level with Kuzmenko is just every day he bedazzles me. And then you got guys like fucking Coleman and Kadri. And now we are coming out with these quotes that it's just like, man, it gives you something to sink into, gives you something to rally behind, gives you something to believe in. So we'll see what happens in the, you know, I think we're looking at a 2-3 year kind of window currently. But I don't know, like, where do you sit with your interest level in this team? Because a lot of times when teams go through a rebuild like this, it becomes very disinterested. You become very disinterested.
Very interesting. I'm very interesting.
Yeah, it's so very interesting for me is this process of the rebuild, retool.
Very, I'm super interested. There's storylines abound. And we're only going to get younger and better, hopefully. So, dude, I'm way more interested. I'm way more interested now than I was at the beginning of the season / end of last offseason.
Tim Kadri, side of the goal, Kuzmenko, puts in front, pad save. It's in, or is it not? Yes, it is. Kuzmenko able to jam it home. Up out of his own zone, gets around Silverberg. Huberto cuts across with a pass over to Kuzmenko with a shot. Scores! Another power play goal by Kuzmenko. And the Flames are up by 2 with 5.5 to go. Looked ahead. Pospisil racing onto it. Chips it in. He'll work it towards the goal. Pospisil in tight. Stop. Rebound is goal. And that's the hat trick goal for Andre Kuzmenko.
This is a very interesting cast of the day. It's a very interesting experience. Very interesting. My life is very interesting. It's very interesting. One question, I have a hat trick?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kayla Itsinis. I'm Kayla Itsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.